Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Divine Goddess Radio. We are your hosts, Marie Langley and Beth Jacobson. And thank you for joining us this evening. We created the show as a venue to discuss the many facets of healing, shifting, and spirituality.
And you can reach us twice a week on Tuesdays from 7 to 8 and Fridays from 1 to 2. If you miss our episodes live, you can go and download our archives at any time using your RSS feed button or iTunes button. You can also, if you have any questions or comments, any feedback or any suggestions, email Marie or myself at divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. And also go on to divinegoddessradio.wordpress.com for our blog. And if you're interested in, for those of you who are writers and you want people to see your writing, we do post other people's blogs on our blog. You can write, email us for details on that. We are very open to individuals sitting here sharing what it is that they bring or want to bring, what services they want to bring to, you know, the new world. Humanity. So anyways, welcome to Tuesday, everybody. Welcome, welcome.
Yes, welcome to our show. And tonight's show is something that, I don't know, I was downloaded, I just popped in my head, and this is what we decided to talk about because I'm guessing there's people out there, or possibly my co-host, who might be needing to hear something. But it's what we're doing a show is on sacred contracts, and we are following the book written by Carolyn Mace. And she has, I think her book has been out for quite a while. But what she, what the sacred contracts, what she refers to is something that she questioned herself. And so she, the way she got started in investigating this was, you know, she was wondering what a person's mission in life is supposed to be. And because you look at people and you think, God, look at that person. Everything looks like it's mapped out perfectly from the day they were born to the end of their life.
And some of them it is that
way. Yeah, it's like totally planned out. It's perfect. And then you think, God, how is their life like that? And mine is not. So, you know, she was wondering, and I know many of us have wondered, you know, is this really all there is to it, or is there more? So what she had found is that there is much more involved, and what her belief is that before we're born, our souls are guided by a sacred contract that we write with ourselves.
Yes.
So basically, before we're born, our soul kind of thinks about it and says, okay, what do I want to learn in this life? What is my mission in life? What am I going to go to do? What is my purpose? So we write that before we're born.
Well, you know, and I want to just make this statement because I know there's a lot of individuals who may be listening and coming across this, because if I did, I'd be going, okay, now this is mine. And again, decipher and discern. This is just my belief system. Doesn't have to be yours. I don't believe that we're in the what is our mission in life anymore, that because we have so advanced energetically that we are now what is our soul purpose. So just interchange the words, you guys, because I can guarantee there are many souls right now who have gone in and they have redone, it's called contract or blueprint, with the changing times now, and there are still some souls that are under, I would say, deliberation right now of whether or not they're going to stay and they're going to do their work. There's going to be more souls, believe it or not, this is what people are saying, and stuff that I've been given myself that I've tuned into, that once we're going to leave, but now they're going to stay and do their work, and there's going to be others who are really, really tired, which I'm really tired today. So Marie's going to do a lot of talking. I'll pipe in here and there. I'm just going to basically hold space. But I just want to say this. But I know there's a lot of us right now, we're under renegotiation right now. And, like, I plan on going in, and I'm going to go and get some answers with my stuff. But, you know, just to just to see what's going on, just to see if I can get some answers on some stuff. So, again, instead of mission to life, you can apply what is your soul purpose now. So interchange the words. Because for some reason she still had to say this, so there's many of us who need to hear it, but now we're going to hear it at a different level.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for somebody maybe even who's just starting out, this might give them a good basis of going, okay, I get it now. I get it why maybe things happen in my life for a reason. Because when we do these contracts, I mean, we're coming in and, it'll determine the kind of work we do on this planet, but also the relationships that we have with people. And Okay, what other contracts have we made with people before we came down into this body that we're using as lessons for our own growth?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, I know that a lot of people have talked about this. We've talked about it. I know she talks about it. It's not just our soul that's making the contracts. We're doing it
on a soul, yes, on a soul,
soul level.
Soul level.
Yeah. Yep. And so everybody is, you can just kind of imagine a bunch of souls up there kind of having a meeting and going, okay, so what do you want to learn? What kind of relationship will we have with each other? What are you going to teach me? Well, you know, so just kind of imagine a whole meeting of people and everybody's writing their own little manuscript,
mm-hmm.
and you come down and that's what we go through with life.
And, you know, and I believe that it's also done with the different dimensions and realities too, that angels will sit down and talk with us. We have a table. It's kind of like envision like a round table. I've seen it with myself, whether or not for others, you know, again, if this rings true for you, but I've seen a table full of angels when I've gone in and have seen my Akashic records. A lot of people are having a hard time with seeing that now. I haven't been able to see mine since it's shifted. But anyways, I know there's angels that can help us. There can be other light beings from different realms and gateways that can be a part of it also. And that means, you guys, our sacred contract, it's everything that we've experienced in life, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, we loved each other enough to sit here and say, I'm going to play this part out for you because that's how much I love you. Even though they said, I don't want to do this to you. I don't want to do this to you on a soul level. But it's like us saying, but if you love me, you will, because you'll give me the greatest growth of all. So just remember that. We
right.
sign up for everything.
Absolutely, and sometimes I know that people, we meet people that come in and out of our lives that can impact us greatly,
mm-hmm.
and we, you know, or they may be in our lives for a longer period of time, and you struggle with them, and you go through your struggles, but realize that we've all made these contracts ahead of time.
Ah.
So people that you meet and have an impact on your life are not by accident.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Even the craziest of craziest experiences,
yep.
you guys,
mm-hmm.
because it's everything, every encounter shifts you to some degree or not. It's whether or not you're going to remain stuck, stay on stagnant, or grow from it.
Right. And remember, too, that free will come into play. So don't think that everything is predetermined, preordained.
Yep.
You have free will, and,
mm-hmm.
and that will come into play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can come in the form of a challenge at work or forming a new relationship. You know, maybe you have a contract with a certain soul to maybe do your relationship for 2 years, but the challenges that are being brought to you and the lessons that you're learning are so fast and you're getting it, you have the free will to say, you know what, I'm cutting this off.
Yep.
So,
you know what, and just because I'm going to piggyback off of what Marie just said, before we started the show, she said, Beth, this week is the energies that are going on right now are crazy right now, you guys, and being a Libra that I am, she happened to say the Libras are the ones who are going through a lot of stuff. Is it just for a week? Please don't.
No, there's about four signs, but I have to go back and figure out who.
Okay, but Libras are a big one, but it has to do with, so if you find yourself, I'm not going to program this, so I'm going to be very mindful of how I say my words. If you find yourself examining relationships, just know that's what it's about, and a deeper one, and especially if you're going internally within, and that's exactly what I'm going through right now. So hopefully I'm going to end up with a better relationship with self.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you view your contract, you look at it as your overall relationship to your personal power and your spiritual power.
Yeah.
So, you know, it determines how you work with your energy, who you give it to, how much you're willing to surrender to divine guidance. All of that will determine how you complete your contract.
Exactly.
And how you work on it.
Exactly.
So what I'm going to do is kind of, I'll go through what Carolyn talks about in sacred contracts, and then we can kind of feed off of, you know, points that come up.
So I'm good.
Okay. So what she says is everybody who has a sacred contract has been encoded with a set of 12 primary archetypes.
Okay.
Okay. And four of these are universal archetypes of survival.
Mm.
So you've got the child,
mm-hmm.
the victim, the prostitute, and the saboteur. So everybody is encoded with these four primary. And then you have the other eight, which are drawn from just a ton of archetypes, you know, going back to the dawn of human history, and I'll talk about how you can kind of figure those out.
Oh, okay, that's what I was going to
yeah.
ask. That's
yeah.
what I was going to ask.
So what I'll do is I'll just do a, for the first, the four archetypes, we'll just do like a synopsis of each one.
Sounds good.
And then, you know, as you're listening, you might be going, that's me. But the four primary archetypes, child, victim, prostitute, and saboteur, they symbolize our major life challenges and how we choose to survive. So they together, they represent the issues, fears, and vulnerabilities that cause us to negotiate away the power of our spirits within the physical world. So they can represent spiritual strengths and how you deal with real life and spiritual issues. So if you envision like a table, so you've got the four legs. So these are the four archetypes, and then your sacred contract sits on top of it. That's a good way to visualize. Like these are the four pillars.
Okay.
So the table legs then represent our relationship to the ground beneath our feet and to the universal energy that supports our life. So they can be straight, they can be curved, they can be embellished with images and carvings. So it kind of depends on how these four will work within our psyche for the rest of our lives. Hopefully it's not getting too confused.
No. I'm going, mine are really, really embellished.
So you want to make sure that they are stable because you want to support the weight of the rest of our life mission. Okay?
I see one off kilter.
One might be wiggly at times.
One is very wiggly.
So all of these four archetypes, they influence how we relate to material power, how we respond to authority, how we make choices. So these four energies are neutral. So, I mean, their names don't sound neutral, but they are supposed to be the four neutral archetypes. So they're the intimate companions of your intuition. They make you conscious of your vulnerabilities and your fear of being victimized. They work with your creative opportunities. They can help you to further them or they can abort them, depending on which one comes more in play. And in the future, they become your allies in fulfilling your opportunities and dreams. So they become your guardians. They help preserve your integrity, and they refuse to allow you to negotiate it away. So these four are always with you. You can't get rid of them. They're your stable base. You can see best right now. That's why I'm laughing.
America.
So let's go through the four of them. So the first one is the child, the guardian of innocence. So that is our beginning point. And most of us will easily identify with the child because, you know, that establishes our perception of life, safety, nurturing, loyalty, and family. And the many aspects of this include the wounded child, the abandoned child, the orphan child, the dependent child, the innocent child, the nature child, and the divine child. So these are all aspects of the child archetype.
Okay.
So these energies emerge in response to different situations, but yet it's the core issue of the child. So, you know, when we grow up from, you know, about 7 to entering adolescence at around 13 to reaching adulthood at 21, all of these are different physical and spiritual maturation points.
Okay.
And when we are completely dependent from birth to age 7, this is when we first develop the skills for taking care of ourselves. So, you know, you're learning, okay, I'm learning how to take care of myself. I'm learning to be independent. I'm learning, okay, what is mine, what is not mine. You're learning how to be selfish or not selfish. You're learning all those basic.
Yeah, she's looking at me like you wouldn't believe what she's talking about.
Okay, I'm going to start looking out the window.
I'm kidding.
So this is when we start learning all that stuff, and then as we grow older, we start developing, you know, all the other emotional.
Can we get stunted in that one? I bet we can get stunted in that. I wonder if I'm stunted in that one.
Yeah, I'm sure we can, because it all depends on, as you're growing up,
yes,
you know, are you allowed that security? Are you given the security? Are you given the freedom? Are you, you know, abused in some way? Or were you never given love? I mean,
interesting.
Yeah. So as you start maturing physically and spiritually, it all relates back to that child. If that makes sense. And
it
how
does.
Your,
no, it
your
does
childhood.
Make sense.
Yeah. So when when we go through our challenges of everyday life, based on how we spiritually matured, when your cycles are not followed in, you know, okay, you go through this period of life, then you go through this, and you're maturing.
Yep.
When you don't go through those cycles, that's when your inner child will exhibit aspects of the wounded or the orphan child.
Oh.
So, you know, maybe you didn't receive the nurturing necessary to become responsible and independent. So if you didn't get that, then you're going to spend your adolescence, okay, how do I... You're trying to overcome those deficiencies that you act out in a certain way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
sense.
You want to, when you're confronting the child archetype within you, it's awakening a new relationship with life,
yeah.
a new beginning. So this brings you into contact with the untapped resources connected to creative thought. So the innocent child, this is the core of that. The sensation that anything and everything is impossible. So imagine if you were brought up and, you know how some kids, especially gifted kids, are like, I see this, I see that, and you have a parent that's like, no,
yep.
shut that down.
Yep.
Well, that shuts down your creative ability. That's the innocent child that's being affected, that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So... it's kind of interesting when you think back to it because, you know, you think, okay, am I this way in a relationship? You know, some people say I have a hard time expressing my emotions or feelings. If you think back to your childhood, was it something that was stunted from then? Did you reach out to your parents and they weren't,
mm-hmm.
you know, affectionate people, so mm-hmm. you had to pull back?
And just so you guys know, this is not giving permission to blame. It's taking accountability.
No. Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to stress that.
Absolutely. So... as the guardian of your innocence, the child archetype helps heal, repair, and put a stop to the inner directed abuse of a wounded child.
Wow.
If you're consumed with any of those psyches, you need to identify or initiate a new relationship or creative enterprise that makes you appreciate your life. So ask your child. God, I wish we had a camera. And I'll have you, let me just say, folks, so right before the show, I was telling Beth, this came to me, this thing, and I'm like, and she's having a hard time, and I said, God, maybe this was all for you.
The show is
going to resonate with you, and
people,
you needed
yeah.
to hear stuff.
Yeah.
So ask your child what it needs in order to heal or feel nurtured or cared for. The child often inspires you to act outside restrictive boundaries or to explore an adventure without the burdensome weights of the adult mind.
Oh my gosh!
So I mean, how many of us have heard, you know, let your inner child go. You know, I mean, I know I've had a reading where they're like, let your inner child out. You know, you need to play more. You need to have more fun. And you think, yeah,
I rarely hear that though. I know how to have fun,
yeah.
but there's other stuff that's ringing true with me too. I'm going, ooh, Lord, I need to go in there
yeah.
so that the inner child can answer some of these questions.
Yeah, so if you sit back and say, okay, you know, what is it that from my childhood that really affected me as a human and how I'm handling my challenges right now?
Yeah.
So it's a good thing to go in and start there. I think it's interesting.
As the saga continues.
Because, you know, I mean...
why no?
As we get to be adults, we always think, you know, that was my parenting style, and that's how my parents were. Oh, I've gotten over it. I'm not going to be this way with my kids. But a part of you is still there. It's still there guiding you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you have to, it's layers. It's layers.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
a huge layer being revealed to me right now.
Absolutely.
I know there's light at the end of the tunnel. I know there is.
So, you know, go ahead and look at that and how what your inner child is telling you and then how that relates to you now. So then the second archetype is the victim, and the victim is the guardian of self-esteem. Mm. So being a victim is a common fear. The victim archetype may manifest the first time you don't get what you want or what you need, are abused by a parent, playmate, sibling, or teacher, or are accused of or punished for something you didn't do. So you may suppress your outrage at the injustice of, you know, maybe the victimizer is bigger or more powerful than you. But at a certain point, you kind of discover a weird advantage to being the victim. So you may be afraid to stand up for yourself, or you may enjoy getting sympathy. The core issue of the victim is whether it's worth giving up your own sense of empowerment to avoid taking responsibility for your independence.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I think she says that at most of her workshops, most people, it's the victim. That they say, you know, the victim part is the most, the one that most people say they're victims. They always feel like they're victims. Oh, God, you know, he so-and-so did this to me, and I'm never going to get anywhere because I always get this or I always get that. So the victim seems to be, in her workshops, the biggest archetype flaw that comes up. So, you know, because they may say, well, I was never taught to fight back, but to avoid conflict, or, you know, you are running away and you always felt like you're running away from something or someone. So, and then people get angry because they feel like they've been victimized.
Mm.
So, the lessons associated with the victim archetype demand that you evaluate your relationship to power, especially in your interactions with people with whom you have control issues and need to construct personal boundaries. So the primary objective of the victim archetype is to develop self-esteem and personal power. So when you're in a situation in which you feel threatened or maybe you think you might not have the appropriate social, professional, or personal power, take notice of that reaction physically, emotionally, and mentally. And so that is the intuitive voice of your inner victim. You can say, I mean, if you want to help direct your responses to all of your experience, say, I'm committed to my own empowerment. What choice can I make here that will serve my own empowerment? And so name that problem that you want to overcome or the power that you want to take for yourself and keep your eye on it and everyone in your life and kind of see, okay, How can I empower myself? How can I get that power back? So-and-so, you know, always seems to put me down or always puts me in a situation where I don't come out ahead. How can I overcome that? So you have contracts with people who are directly connected to the victim archetype, and their primary role is to help you develop your self-esteem through acts of honesty, integrity, courage, endurance, and self-respect. So you will have people that will challenge you through your life. And I know that we've all had those people, you know, whether it's in work situation or whether it's in a personal relationship, those people come up, but it's how you react to it. So if you find yourself thinking, yeah, I always, you know, maybe when people I feel are intimidating me or trying to intimidate me and get things done, take a step back and go, wait a minute, is this my victim archetype here? And how can I get the upper hand on this person so I don't feel belittled? So, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very.
Okay.
Mine's all interpersonal stuff. It's like, good Lord.
Well,
but a lot of this is ringing true, let me tell you.
So then we have the third one, which is the prostitute, guardian of faith. The prostitute thrives most bountifully in subtle ways and in ordinary everyday circumstances. It comes into play most clearly when our survival is threatened. Its core issue is how much are you willing to sell of yourself, your morals, your integrity, your intellect, your word, your body, or your soul for the sake of physical security. So the prostitute archetype also dramatically embodies and tests the power of faith. If you have faith, no one can buy you. You know that you can take care of yourself and also that the divine is looking out for you. Without faith, you will eventually meet the person you cannot turn down. So,
interesting.
Yeah. So, and she said the majority of prostitutes that she meet and continue to meet are men and women who are either in bad marriages and or in miserable jobs. So it's the people who cannot move out of their toxic environments, who continually stay in there and...
we're not laughing at that. Just
you know, that they're unhappy, but they don't move out of it because they want that security. Or they think, oh, my God, if I get out of it, well, how am I going to continue? You know, is this, even though this person is not the greatest, he takes care of me or she takes care of me.
Mm-hmm.
Or this job, how can I go without paying my bills?
Mm-hmm.
I have to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And so you continue to put up with it and stay with it, even though you know this is not the best situation for you.
You know, that's just interesting. Just a little side note. Mm-hmm. That is so interesting you were saying that, because I've always felt that towards jobs. I'm not selling myself.
Yeah.
And I would say that. I'm not selling myself.
Well, and also, I mean, I know there's situations, like in my job, where ethics come into it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can take the easy route
mm-hmm.
for the quick buck,
mm-hmm.
or you can uphold your ethics. And that's a big one for me. So at least I know I'm not that much of a prostitute. My part is
I think we all have our moments. We all have our moments.
Yeah, we do. I mean,
the human part of us.
The
it's
temptation,
a part of us.
That it does come up.
Well,
know?
Mine is I can lack faith. Man, can I be in faith? And then, boy, it can be like polar opposites. It's mm-hmm. finding that balance.
So it's, you know, we all get those shortcuts. But the problem is, the people, you know, you have to examine that shortcut and say, all right, you know, is that the best way to get around it, or is it going to get me into trouble down the road?
Yeah.
So, and confronting the prostitute within you transforms this archetype into your guardian. It will watch over your relationship to faith. So think of the prostitute as an ally who puts you on alert every time you contemplate shifting your faith from the divine to the physical. So, you know, if you're ever in a crisis of faith, try to become mindful of your thoughts and fears and name exactly what you're afraid of, especially those fears that try to talk you into compromising yourself in any way. The prostitute appears when you begin to believe that you could order your life if you just had the money to control the world around you and to buy just a bit of everyone in it. So, you know, it appears, for example, you want to stay in a relationship that's not good for you, but you just don't want to be alone. So you stay there and you stay there and you stay there. It appears when you're asked to do something unethical or illegal for the good of the company.
Hell,
I've been in that situation too, and I've walked away.
That's right, me too.
So people who are meant to bring out the prostitute in you represents your most painful relationships. They make us confront our fears of survival, and they're also terrifying and humiliating. So just remember that, you know, that it's your guardian. It awakens you to decisions in which you must decide. Walk the walk or talk the talk.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. You know, when you start thinking about this, it's like,
going, God, I hope I walk my talk. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm not in it full force like I wish I was. But I would say for the most part, I can say, yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Now, this one, the last one, is the saboteur, guardian of choice. So the saboteur archetype is a neutral energy within you that usually makes itself known through disruption. It can sabotage your efforts to be happy and successful if you're not aware of the patterns of thoughts and behavior that it raises in you. It can cause you to resist opportunities. The saboteur is the mirror that reflects your fears of taking responsibility for yourself and for what you create. So this one may be the one that's the most intimately connected to your ability to survive in the physical world. So your fears of being without the basic needs in life often provide this archetype with the power to haunt you. So you can silence this one with acts of courage and by following your intuition. It serves you brilliantly as a gut instinct that directs you to take actions based on hunches rather than on rational thought. So you can start with small choices, which might be life-transforming acts of will disguised as harmless impulses.
Yes.
So the core issue for the saboteur is fear of inviting change into your life, change that requires responding in a positive way to opportunities to shape and deepen your spirit. So, I mean, you know that you want to make the change, but you're afraid that because, you know, you're so used to a certain thing and you're so used to a certain way
mm-hmm.
that you're afraid, okay, God, if I really do this, how will my whole life collapse?
Mm-hmm.
That's the saboteur coming in. So you want to make sure that when it does come up, take a look at it a little bit deeper and say, okay, what is this really something that may not be good for me, or is it just fear? And we've talked about fear on this show so many times. It comes up in our readings,
yeah.
And it's all about letting go of the fear and having faith and trusting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And it doesn't mean you're having faith in a certain, you know, we're not saying that you have to prescribe to any religion.
Yeah.
Faith is just, you can have faith in yourself.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Having faith in yourself that you can make good decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are the four basic archetypes. And since these are actually neutral, but they have both light and shadow aspects. So each one has a shadow aspect. So that's the dark side.
I must be in the shadow part right now.
Yeah. So, you know, when you are in that shadow, it comes out more. I guess more. What's the word I want to use? More challenging, or more like something might be more toxic, or more. Word. I can't. I'm
well, I think
it's
when you're being challenged, it's opportunities of being able to look at, you know, what it is that you need to examine that you might have been putting on hold. But also, it may not be something you've been putting on hold, because we are releasing layers and layers and layers and layers.
Right. So, I mean, let's say, okay, here's the shadow side. Say, for example, you've got some kind of wounded child or something. You know, some part
yeah.
of your child
yeah.
Archetype. That's the shadow side. Do you just throw a? Do you examine it when something happens? Do you throw a tantrum and you get violent?
Yes.
That's the shadow side. Or do you take it and go, wait a minute? You know what? I'm noticing there's something here that's triggering something deep. How do I respond to it? Do I look at it and work on it, or do I just go the dark shadow side?
A mature soul would look at it.
Yes.
You
yeah.
know, a mature soul.
Right. So, and, you know, like the shadow sides are going to be your social, psychological deviants, you know, the ones that murder and do things like
what
that.
One? What one?
The shadow side.
Well, that's not even in my thought form.
Right. So, I mean, you can confront your shadow. You can say, hey, you know what? People might fear their own empowerment and unconsciously encourage their shadow to thrive. Confront it and say, okay, I'm going to look at this, and I'm going to say, okay, this behavior is not where I should be. This is not the best way to solve this situation. Let me take a look at it. How can I get over this challenge and make myself progress forward? Does that make sense?
Like, that does make a lot of sense.
Okay. So with those four, we have, that's our basis. And then there's over, so you're going to have those four, and then you're going to add eight other archetypes to kind of figure out who you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those, there's like 70 of them.
Duh.
So I'm not going to go through all 70 because there's so many, obviously. But I'll give you an example of one. And one of the archetypes is addict. So each one of us is touched by the addict archetype. The only question is how much of our lives is consumed by it. So, you know, besides the usual suspects, drugs, alcohol, food, sex, you can be addicted to work, sports, television, exercise, et cetera, et cetera. You know, negative attitudes, you can be overly addicted to spiritual practices. You know, we hear about those people who meditate, but they'll meditate for 8 hours at a day and then their whole life passes by.
Yep.
That's an addict.
Mm.
So in a positive aspect, this archetype helps you recognize when an outside substance, habit, relationship, or any expression of life has more authority over your willpower than does your inner spirit. So confronting this and breaking that hold obviously has a great impact on your psyche, and discovering that empowerment becomes a lifelong impact. So that's an example of an addict. You can have an addict, you can have, gosh, there's so many of them. I mean, if you can pick up her book, that's the best way to do. You've got addict, you've got teacher, you've got actor, mother, father, parent. I mean, there's so many different archetypes that you can follow when you're doing this little wheel. And I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to go through all of them because we could be here for 6 hours. But so you have basically 12 archetypes that are encoded total in you. So you've got 4 of the universal, which are related to survival, and then 8 that are drawn from the storehouse of archetypes, you know, that have been created over human history.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these are going to play into your particular life.
Well, okay.
So they're going to play roles that relate to our work, our relationships with individuals and society, as well as spirituality, finances, values, and our highest potential. Once you kind of figure out what your archetypes are, you want to basically interpret it, so you want to determine what your 12 archetypes are. And in her book, she has a list of questions that you can answer, and it kind of points you to what those archetypes are. So you want to do, when you start writing them down, you're going to start jumping out and going, oh, yeah, that does sound like me. Oh, yeah, that is me. That's part of who I am. So it could be an archetype that's aligned with your occupation, like a politician, an athlete, scholar, judge. It could be something that defines your nature, like a monk or a nun, poet, lover, rebel. Some archetypes, you know, I'm sure we have like mystic visionary healer that comes through. That's part of our life.
Yeah.
So once you've assembled all of them, start asking yourself a few simple questions. If you like, you can imagine each archetype sitting in a chair across from you and ask the questions directly to the archetype. You can even write a letter to the archetype if you find that easier for you. And then allow that archetype to respond and listen to the answers coming from the deepest level of your intuition. So here are some sample questions. What events or personal characteristics led me to choose this archetype? How long has this archetypal pattern been a part of my life? What role has it played for me? What prominent people have interacted with the aspect of my nature supported by this archetype? For example, if you think you have a teacher archetype, think of the people who've helped play roles in your life that have either inspired you to be a teacher or have educated you. What myths, fairy tales, or spiritual stories that have meaning for me do I associate with this archetype? Has this archetype appeared in my dreams? Does it make me feel empowered or disempowered?
Ooh.
So, and you could also ask it, you know, what impact does it have on my spirituality? What have I learned about my own shadow aspect? Has it caused me to block or forgo changes that need to happen? What kind of guidance is my archetype giving me? So these are all kind of questions that you can start asking yourself. And you write it down, because you're going to write down, you know, what she suggests is you look at all 70 archetypes and see which ones jump out at you the most and write them down and then start digging closer and closer and closer and asking these questions and then narrowing it down to 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because, I mean, we all have different, you know, aspects. Some people who are natural storytellers would be an actor, for example. And the shadow part of that is people who lie a lot and can make up stories. So, you know, I know someone in my life who's like that, and that's all they do. No, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking out the window.
Me.
That's because you're in my light of sight. So then when you've got all that done, you want to start working with your archetype wheel. So the archetype wheel takes you beyond rational and logical perceptions into the realm of intuition. It's a creative spiritual vehicle in which you can mix images and its inspirations to get your insights. And out of this can emerge a refined, more durable vision of your life's purpose. So you're going to create a chart, and you're going to see how many of your archetypes interconnects with others. So memories of one part of your life may link an apparent coincidence today with something you saw 2 years ago and then connect everything. So the wheel provides a map on which you can plot the points of interaction happening between them. This helps you to connect the dots and form a clearer picture of what's happening in your life. And that wheel is called the chart of origin. So it serves, that's your basic roadmap for your life. And in her book, she does show you how to use that technique to seek guidance on specific questions that are confronting you right now. And but that's a little bit further. First, you want to make your chart. And it's kind of like your natal chart in astrology.
Really?
So it provides you with your, like I said, with your basic roadmap of who you are. So once you get that done, you want to cast your chart of origin. And it's rather simple. You want to clear your mind of expectations and desires and focus on your intention to be open to whatever guidance you receive. So take several deep breaths to clear your mind, and your archetypes will be guided into their appropriate houses by the energy of coincidence, spiritual order, destiny, kind of like how, if you're using your intuition a lot, how things kind of get organized. But make sure you do clear your mind because you want your guidance to come through without any distractions. If you need to do a meditation before you do that, go ahead. So there's four steps to casting your chart of origin. After you've centered yourself, you want to prepare. So you cut out 24 pieces of paper about 2 inches by 3 inches, and on each of the 12 slips, write the name of one of your 12 archetypes. On the other 12 slips, write the numbers 1 through 12, and place the archetypes and the numbers in two different stacks face down. So then you want to center yourself again. You want to shuffle the two stacks of paper and make sure you keep them separate. And as you shuffle the stacks of archetypes, ask, in which houses do these archetypes best serve me? So by doing that and keeping your intention clear, it creates a magnetic circuit that will direct the archetypes to their appropriate houses for the next step. So then you want to picture yourself as a hollow reed transmitting energy. So keeping the slips of paper face down, choose one from each pile, a number and an archetype. So the numbers correspond to the house into which that archetype should go. So write the name of that archetype into the numbered house on your wheel. If you chose a number 5 in the child card, for example, your child archetype belongs in the 5th house of your wheel. So continue this exercise until all 12 houses are filled. The next step is, it's a little bit more complex. So if you can get the book, she recommends that you do consult it. But once you've paired the archetypes with their houses, you've generated a unique energy field that represents the symbolic hologram of your unconscious. So you're going to ask yourself again a series of questions to determine the deeper significance and the many ramifications of these pairings.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to, you know, you might begin exploring the meaning of each archetype to house partnership by listing any immediate associations and thoughts that may occur to you. Even if you feel resistance to some of the partnerships, don't suppress the responses that come to you because you're learning a new multidimensional way of perceiving your life. For example, say you match the prostitute to your 7th house. You might write, my prostitute archetype is in the house of relationships. This means that the fears that cause me to sell myself to the highest bidder generally have more to do with my relationships than my professional life. I don't tend to sell out in business dealings because I have a strong self-esteem in that realm. Yet my fear of rejection leads me to cling compulsively to relationships that don't serve my spiritual needs. Isn't that interesting? So, you know, in her book, she obviously has what each house represents. So when you put that archetype, match it up, then it kind of makes sense then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because your chart of origin is like your natal astrology chart, you cast it only once. So then once you've kind of learned your chart of origin,
yeah.
then you can use it, a similar technique, to obtain guidance in a variety of specific situations by casting what she calls working charts. So if you've, let's see, your working chart, for example, you can ask for guidance with a health issue, a career decision, or a relationship. So in those cases, you would use the same two stacks of cards, but as you're shuffling the cards, ask for guidance in a particular area, beginning with the phrase, I am open to. So for example, I'm open to receiving one healing insight about my stress patterns and this illness. Or I'm open to recognizing why I block reconciliation with this individual.
Yes.
Do not ask a question that requires a yes or no answer, especially regarding your health, because you're not going to, I mean, you're, I think your ego is going to get involved there and you're not going to get a clear answer.
Put
Leave that to the doctors.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So, as long as you, you know, if you can follow these guidelines, you can receive significant guidance for just about any appropriate question or issue. I know it sounds kind of complicated and it's a lot of steps, but if you do follow her book and you go step by step, it's really not that complicated.
Well, you know, here's me. If you are drawn to doing it, that means just right now that's what you're going through at this time.
Right. Exactly.
And there's only going to be probably pieces that you need to do of this to get you through it.
Mm-hmm.
There's key words that are jumping out at me as I'm looking through the book as Marie's talking right now.
Yeah.
And
so,
it's like, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting because I know that, you know, a lot of us have heard about astrology. It's pretty mainstream. And so we all look to, okay, we get our charts done and we say, okay, our house, you know, our seventh house, is in this planet or our planets are in this house or in this sign, and you can kind of go through and get a understanding of what who you are and what your personality is based on that if you do a really complete chart. But this is another aspect that kind of goes, I think, a little bit deeper, and it goes into those relationships because, I mean, if you ask anybody on the street and say, okay, do you know what your four main archetypes are? I don't think it's as mainstream, so it's something interesting to think about.
Do you think, you know, if you're going through this, because I just happen to be looking at this and they have different ones to do with the child.
Yeah.
Can you have more than one child?
Right.
Like there's the child that's the orphan, the child that's wounded, the child
that's magical.
Yeah,
they're all different aspects of
so
that child.
Oh, okay.
So you
want to,
so if you're having, that's why you want to go in and look at it and go, okay, what is going up, what's going on with my child archetype? What aspects are coming through in my life that relates to that child?
This is what I'd recommend for those who are having a little more difficulty shifting with ease to where there's a lot more people who are going, everybody's going through their stuff, but those of us who have it maybe a little more, I'm not saying more than others, but to where there might be a little bit more to it, this is something that's very interesting to see where it is, what archetypes that you would find yourself looking at and saying, this is me. And how many of us would sit here and say, there's a lot of stuff going on with the child right now?
Yeah. Or, you know what, if you are in a situation where you're just, it keeps being repeated, even like in a job situation,
yeah,
where things keep happening and you're like, why does the same thing keep happening? Go back and look at it and say, okay, am I sabotaging myself? Am I projecting something that I'm a victim? I mean, what is it that keeps coming up that I need to examine? And if you're looking at just the four basic, if you're looking at the four basic archetypes to begin with, I think that's really where you really have to start with this technique and say, okay, these are my four basic. What is it in me that is not optimal? And then you start from there, and then you start figuring out, okay, what are the other archetypes that are part of my life that I need to examine? And is there a shadow part? Am I exhibiting something that's not the highest good of who I am? And how do I, you know, and basically she says confront it. Confront it and acknowledge it so you know what it is and you can turn that around.
You guys, I'm just telling you, words that I've been hearing, are fitting into these archetypes right now. If anything, it's giving me pieces to the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, just looking at this book right now. Can I take this book home?
Yeah, and I really believe that a lot of us that go through a lot of self-examination and wondering where we fit in this world, I really believe it goes back to the child. There's something that happens that you can trace back to something that happened in your childhood.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, it could be anything. It could be you try to reach out to somebody and somebody says something nasty to you, and as a child, you don't know how to process that, and you know, and you can take that away as a huge hurt that affects you 30 years down the road.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So if I think it's awesome that she was able to write this book.
Yes. Well, then it makes sense why I, believe it or not, this was in my possession once upon a time, a book like this, and I threw it because I didn't want to examine it, so I find it really interesting. It's our talk for today.
And on Sunday, we didn't even know what we were going to talk about tonight, and we were sitting here, and I heard plain as day, sacred contracts, and I'm like, huh? And that's what I said, hey, I'm hearing sacred contracts, and obviously...
And it can be more, you know, whatever your energy you're going to get, it might be to where you guys need to hear this and you're going to be able to go in and look at, you know, the sacred contracts at a different level too. So definitely sacred contracts, because I know a lot of people are wanting to know, what in the heck am I here for right now? Because a lot of people, there's many people, especially those who are very tuned in, who are saying, I know it shifted in my, you know, my soul, but I want to see, because I know a lot of people are having a hard time going into the Akashic Records right now. But we literally are still setting up stuff. My soul cannot even give me details.
Well, and I think, you know, I mean, if we all wrote our contracts before we came down, and now everything is shifting.
Yes.
I think it's still a good idea to go in, though, and say, okay, has my archetype shifted?
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it would be good. I think it would be great to actually do the wheel and see what comes up.
I'm going
to
do it. I'm doing it.
You know, and for those of you who can do a wheel, I wonder if it would change if you did it again in 5 years. Wouldn't it be interesting to ask her?
I'd say in a month.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, just to see if everything has shifted from what was written.
And for those of you who have the book right now, the archetypes are all in the back of the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're in the back
there's
of the book.
There's a lot of them. I mean, there
70,
are a lot of them.
70,
70, yeah.
70.
So, obviously, I didn't want to – we can't read them all, but – I think it was very important to get the four basic ones are because we all have those.
Yeah.
And that's the foundation of where to start.
Yeah.
And start examining.
Exactly.
And we are, I think I know I am, I know you are, I know a lot of my intuitive friends are going, all right, things are not moving the way I planned or, you know, things are not, I mean, what are we doing here? We're all examining that again. What are we doing here?
Well, I mean, as humanity, we are.
Mm-hmm.
As humanity, and we're supposed to. We're supposed to. But, you know, we're also, a lot of people, just energetic. Do we need to still focus on this still?
No, we have about 7 minutes left.
Because I would say, you know, a lot of what's going on right now, there's a lot of individuals who are sitting here making statements about massive migraines going on. Well, you guys, what's going on right now is our occipital lobe, the back of our head, below just above our neck, that's our occipital lobe, is being... it's being reprogrammed, recalibrated, so it's being worked on, so that's causing the migraines. And what that is doing is our occipital lobe is bringing us into so that we can follow our higher guidance. So there's a process to it, and there's nobody who's going to get out from doing this. And so just even talking about it's giving me a headache. But so just so you know what's going on, and it could be affecting your vision right now, so it's not something that you have to run to a doctor. You know, but I'm not making a statement because I'm not a medical person. If you feel that you have to go, but just know that's what's going on right now. And, again, your legs, because we're reestablishing a new connection with Earth right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I've been feeling kind of weird migraine-y stuff going, where is this coming from? And the exhaustion. I mean, I'm having a hard time I could sleep all day if I could.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Oh, and, you know, and then chest stuff, heart stuff. Now, get this. I never in a million years. I was just at a a get-together, a goddess retreat this weekend, and I was having some energy work done on me, and the individual who was working on me went into my high heart and said, Beth, you have a lot of grief in there. And I'm going, good God, that's my high heart. That's what I'm going into. What am I grieving? And I still don't, I haven't specifically pinpointed. I have a general idea. But even that, you guys, we have to clear that out, because our high heart is where we divinely express ourselves, because it's in association with our throat chakra, which is in association with our third eye and our crown chakra and the chakras above us.
But wouldn't it be interesting to find out that it's something to do with your child archetype?
I know it has something to do with. It probably has to do with that, because this thought is recurring since I've been there this weekend. Mm-hmm. And then I was having a conversation with this individual later on, and she goes, Beth, I wonder if it has anything to do with you needing to examine that more, because God forbid I haven't examined it enough. But again, I have to examine it again, and I know a lot of it has to do with that I never wanted to be on this planet. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of it is. So I'm going, okay, so if I can pinpoint it, whether or not that's the specifics of it, so it's like, God, exactly what do I need to do to go in to really let it go, because I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
So now I need to get on from that.
Well, that would be interesting if you ended up doing this.
I know.
And examining it, and that's all, that was the piece that was missing.
And I've had that thought ever since I was a child. So if my family's listening to this, I've had that thought my whole life.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of people really that have that.
Yeah.
That, you
but
know,
they will
say,
not going, what?
Well, I've heard a lot of people saying, God, I don't feel like I belong. I don't feel like I belong here. I don't belong in this family. I don't belong in this planet. I don't belong, you know. And then if you, are as a child, have never gotten that satisfactory answer or made to feel like you belong, then you carry that with you.
But then, you know, a lot of it's not just feeling like it, it's wanting to belong also.
Mm-hmm.
So do you set that up and have the saboteur, you know, archetype?
Right.
To where I don't want to belong, so then I can just sit here and say, see?
And then you have that
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be around me, but I'm going, well, who the hell would want to be around that?
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, my Lord. Yeah. So do you see how that can give you the basic foundation?
Yeah.
And for those of you who, you guys, at $10, you can go to the library and check this book out.
Oh, yeah. I got mine at Half Price Books.
Or Amazon, check on Amazon too. You can get them used books, inexpensive.
It's very.
Did you say you downloaded this? Or does she have this?
She's got a website, yeah. Carolyn Mace has a website.
Does it have the 70 archetypes on it or not?
I think, well, she's got a link, yeah. She's got them listed. She doesn't have them described, but she's got them listed.
Oh, okay.
And her last name is spelled M-Y-S-S.
Okay.
If you want to look her up.
Miss Caroline.
Yeah,
Miss
Caroline. Yep. So.
So that is interesting, very interesting.
Yeah. So hopefully somebody got a good message out of it. I mean, it's to me.
Well, I did.
It's almost like
an
anatomy lesson of our spirit.
Oh,
in
I know.
Some way,
yes,
you know?
It is.
So,
it is.
Yeah. So anyway, we are at the end of our show. We really thank you for tuning in, and we thank you for listening. And
yes,
we will be back on Friday at 1 p.m. for our Phone-In Friday show.
Well, we send you love and light, and we hope that you guys are getting and shifting through this energy with ease and grace, with effortlessness. And remember to stay in as much of a state of gratitude as much as possible. Let me be your leader of doing the opposite of what you get.
Right.
Be positive, positive, positive.
And listen to your body. Your body's telling you if you need to rest, rest.
Yes.
Listen to it. There's a reason for it.
Yes.
So have a great night, and we'll catch
Sleep
you on
well.
Friday. Love and light.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.